you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of geeks. And TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of this week and kink. This week and kink.
And now it's time for another special feature.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to This Week in Geek, and I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, coming to you from Guelph, Ontario, Canada, the place that time has evidently forgot, and if there's a bright spot in the universe, it's the place that it's farthest from. But I'm not alone as I trek into this kind of midweek special, as you will, because as of today's recording, it is Memorial Day in the United States. We took last week off to celebrate our Queen, Queen Victoria, pretty much in name only. But I'm not alone. I am joined with the man from Kitchener himself.
Alex.
And we're going to kind of do just kind of a roundtable discussion talking about things that are hot in the media. We're going to talk very briefly about Detective Pikachu, as we have had some people across our Twitter and Facebooks ask us what we think about that particular flick with Ryan Reynolds that came out just a few weeks ago after Avengers Endgame. But we're more or less going to draw this discussion primarily on television, primarily event television, where we just saw the finale of Game of Thrones played out just a little while ago. We saw the finale of The Big Bang Theory. And the two questions that have come up with those two is, did they stick the landing? Considering we've had landmark series like Breaking Bad, we've had Avatar The Last Airbender, Parks and Rec, series that have really good series finales. Game of Thrones and Big Bang, did they necessarily stick the landing that they should have, considering how much of the cultural mindscape that they currently exist in? So we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But as I promised, we're going to talk a little bit about Detective Pikachu, starring Ryan Reynolds and Justice Smith, released by Warner Brothers. Came out to fairly successful. It wasn't number one during the box office. It was number two, as it was competing against the juggernaut that was Avengers Endgame, which is, I think, number three or four at the box office right now. Aladdin took number one this week. John Wick 3 is in number two spot, and I think Avengers Endgame is still number three or four. So Detective Pikachu is definitely in the top 10, as far as I'm aware.
It didn't do nearly as well as I thought it was going to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I figured this was a $1 billion movie. But
I wouldn't go that far, but I'd say it's going to do good money.
Do you realize that Pokemon is the most successful franchise of all time anywhere in the world?
I think the problem is it was released too close to Endgame.
It is. Had this come out, let's say, like a week from now, they would have given enough buffer room for all these things, and it probably would have had double or triple its intake. Because I think it's only made like 100 and some odd million in North America. And it what's interesting about it is it's a respectable number based on the budget, but it's not nearly where, like, I would have projected this to make like 300 million in North America, like 600 million worldwide somewhere else.
Well, why don't you look up those current box off numbers while I'm talking about this?
Yeah, it only takes me a second here.
Yeah, so Detective Pikachu, I think it's one of those franchise, I hope this becomes a franchise movie, because it does show that a Pokemon world with human actors and CG Pokemon works. It definitely a lot better than it should have ever conceivably worked at all, because the idea itself sounds ridiculous. Even though it is based upon the Detective Pikachu game, as far as I know, it follows fairly closely. You want to hear more about this, go listen to the Nerds of the Third Power episode where I talk about this with Billy, the Cat, and Skyblaze.
Okay, so it had a $150 million production budget, figure on another $20 or $30 million for
marketing and stuff.
Yep. So just to be safe, let's say 200 million.
Okay.
Domestic's only 120 million.
And
That should have, and foreign, 236. So it should be, in my mind, I would have figured it would have been about 250 by now, North America, and then probably another 300 million worldwide. Like, it should have been sitting at about 500 and something, and it's at 356. You know, that's no small amount. It's still probably double its production and marketing, but... And for by any means, for any other, you know, new, I'm saying in quotes, franchise, because they've done the anime films. But like, as far as a new property like this, it would have been probably very, very, you know, good numbers for any company except for Nintendo. Nintendo's probably looking at this and being like, this should be 600-700 million.
I think when it ends its run, it'll probably be 550.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you'll probably hit that 500 mark worldwide. But I did read the reason it may be suffering a fair bit is it's not doing well in India at all, which traditionally it wasn't like very many American films do super big there, but it is a billion person market. So if even 5% of the population want to go see it, you'd be looking at easily another 100 million. So,
yeah.
And the other thing is, I heard this didn't get released in China because of their laws against Supernatural.
Really? I was unaware of this.
Yeah. There was a big hubbub about it because you know how they only allow a certain amount of films per year there, and they only allow films, American films, there outside of that certain amount if they're co-produced in China. Mm-hmm. But the fact that there are supernatural Pokemon and just the nature of them goes against the government's laws. So it's done really bad. I don't even think it got released there. But if you look at all those big numbers on like big movies, let's say like Transformers and all that sort of stuff lately, you'll find that they make like 100 or 200 million in China alone. So I'm thinking where we're missing this like 150, 200 million that we were figuring is probably with the Asian market, which you think would be huge. It's probably huge in Japan. But as far as like, because 236 million for worldwide for Pokemon is nothing. The Pokemon franchises, like each game makes over $1 billion and that's worldwide. Each game, like each iteration. So there's no reason for this not to have been as big, you know.
I think it'll do really well when it gets released onto home video later on this year.
Absolutely.
My guess is we'll probably see this in August or September.
Yeah, and I do think it's gonna be one of those movies that every few months, like your local theater will have like the family movie weekend where you pay like $5 for a ticket. This is gonna be one of those ones that goes into the art house theaters over and over again.
Probably, yeah. I mean, it's a fairly family-friendly movie. You don't have to be a huge Pokemon fan to really even enjoy it. Blair didn't know sweet and fuck all about Pokemon, but she really enjoyed it.
It was fun.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's little gripes here and there about it. Like, basically, Ken Watanabe had nothing to do in the movie, yet he was billed as, like, the second billing.
Yeah, he's just, hi, I'm a detective.
I feel like, was he there because they needed an actual Japanese actor to be in a Pokemon movie?
Like, that's kind of what I'm guessing, truthfully.
I was hoping that he was going to be like a corrupt cop or that you were going to think he was, but he was really going to help them. No, he did fuck all. But other than that, the movie's really good. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, if you want to hear more about my thoughts about Detective Pikachu, go check out Nerds of the Third Power. That episode is on the site.
Yeah. Oh,
and you can download that now.
I will just say this. John Wick Chapter 3, amazing. Go see it.
Yes, that is my goal. Maybe... Even, I don't know, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow. We'll wait and see.
I'm not going to spoil anything for it. I will just say...
I've already read the ending.
It might... Well, not the ending. It might have the best kill scenes I've ever seen in a movie.
Supposedly, he has a higher kill count than Jason Voorhees and Michael Myers combined.
In this movie
alone.
Which
is quite impressive.
I fucking guarantee you. Like, I will only say one kill that I saw that the whole theater went, ugh. He grabs a sword and stabs a guy in the head, like, but the top of the skull where it's the hardest, and it doesn't go in. So he keeps chipping at it and grinding the skull until it goes in. And you hear it, you know, slide through the bone.
Oh, that's, Jesus.
That's one kill out of, like, I don't know, 600 or more in this movie.
That's insane.
Yeah, so go see it.
All right. Okay, so we're going to talk about the series finale to Big Bang Theory and Game of Thrones, which, like I said, just aired a couple of weeks ago at this point. So you've all had time to digest it. Spoilers from here on in. Let's talk about Big Bang Theory first. So this series was 12 seasons, 200-something episodes, I think.
Yeah, somewhere around there, yeah.
Longest running television sitcom.
Didn't it beat like Ozzie and Harriet or something from way back where it had like
something ridiculous.
I think it had 11 seasons or something, or maybe 12. Yeah, I think it actually beat those.
So Chuck Lorre and his group of writers crafted this wonderful group of people.
You mean which you either love or hate. Out.
Shat it out, whether you love or hate them. And I actually started watching a video on this where somebody binge watched the entire series and summarized each episode within a minute of each episode, basically summarizing the plot and main things that you were supposed to pick up at it. And I realized the writing of the series is very inconsistent.
Yeah,
some seasons are better than others.
If I can give my opinion, I'm not going to try to be negative about everything. I will say this. The latter seasons, the latter half, are better than anything Tyler Perry has ever made. And better than Anger Management, like the second season where it was like 100 episodes that Charlie Sheen made, where it was like basically a soap opera. So it's better than those. I would say it devolved rapidly after season 4 or so.
Actually, I've heard people say the high point of the series was season 5, but it jumped the shark in season 4.
When they introduced all the women characters, it's not in I have to be very careful how I say this, because I'm not saying don't introduce women characters into your show. I'm saying they took away the dynamic of the show.
I would argue against that.
More ensemble.
I'd say once Bernadette, I think, came in season 2, and they had Sarah Gilbert's character come in around season 2, I think, as well.
Yeah.
The dynamic changed, and then having the character who's had the most development in that show is arguably Penny.
Yeah, probably. Because
She starts out as a waitress at the Cheesecake Factory and then ends up selling pharmaceuticals later on after changing careers, wanting to be an actress, doing all these other things.
And basically, like, I had dropped off watching after about, I think I watched pretty much every episode up till season 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And then it was one of those things where I would catch an episode when it was on.
I gave up after Wallowitz went to space.
Yeah, then it
so
got
season
very,
4, I think.
It got very Happy Days-ish around that time where they started doing ridiculous plots. I would say I stopped, like, truly, truly enjoying it. After I discovered, because I was a little late to party, after I discovered Community and realized, like, there's a big difference between making jokes about nerds and making jokes with nerds.
There's the difference between laughing with you and laughing at you.
Yeah.
And there was a great think piece I saw, and I can't remember where it was, but they showed a clip of The Big Bang Theory, and they said, I present you this to you with no context. And it's Wallowitz, Raj, and I think Leonard playing ping pong or some game, and it's nothing but pop culture reference after pop culture reference. Like, okay, guys, we're going to play a Game of Thrones inspired blah, 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 blah. And he gives this entire pop culture laden just diatribe, and it's about ping pong. And they're laughing at the references, not the joke itself. And then I read another article, and I remember the distinct headline is The Big Bang Theory is Nerd Blackface. And I got to thinking, huh. So I went back and rewatched the episodes. And sure, I'd have a chuckle here and there. But I started to realize the show wasn't made for me. It was laughing at me.
Whereas the first couple seasons was a little more empowering.
Yeah, I mean, the writing felt more sincere, although for some reason Raj is a functioning alcoholic when you really look at it, because that character's been treated like shit the entire series.
Well, there's not been a lot of consistency with pretty much any of the characters except for Leonard.
Leonard and Penny are the two characters who get the most development.
Sheldon has developed and then regressed. Like, from what I watched the last 3 or 4 episodes of the show, for the sake of plot, they regress him. Really bad.
Well, yeah, it's funny because in the early seasons, he was more functional than he was previously, where he'd make jokes. He would, you know, he'd take the lead to do some comedic timing. And then suddenly in some episodes, he randomly has a fear of public speaking when in other episodes he didn't.
Or the so fact inconsistent. That, like, he became as selfish as he was in the first season in the last three episodes of the show because of plot points.
Yeah.
Not because it made sense. Like, I think they went through a revolving door of writers, but also they hit their, like, they hit that point where they put themselves on cruise control. And I feel like the best analogy I can give is this is like Family Guy. The first few seasons of Family Guy were funny. Now Family Guy is just
throwaway joke at the throwaway joke.
Every 10, 15 seconds, it's throwaway joke, throwaway joke, throwaway joke. Not funny, not funny, not funny. Whereas other shows have gone and evolved. Like after American Dad moved to TBS, they've actually used that to make more compelling, funny stories.
Yeah.
So getting into the finale, now that we're in spoiler territory, it was terrible. I don't care if people some people are like, I liked it. It's like, you can like it. I'm not going to call you names, but it was terrible. You can like terrible things. I like terrible things, but this was insulting.
I felt parts of it worked, but parts of it didn't. I think my main problem is, in my opinion, the Sheldon character that I know would have been happy for Leonard and Penny having a kid, not just, oh, I don't, it just felt like a really weak punchline setup. And the way I would interpret the character, I'm not saying he's going to gush over it, but he'd be like, oh, you're going to have a child just like Wallowitz? Well, that's fascinating. Can I study it? Well, that's how I would have seen that going.
Or they should have used the joke of, between you and Penny, you'll have a normal child. Like, you could have said, if you wanted to say something sort of insulting but not mean it, like you know how in his head it means that you're going to have a nice, healthy child, but how it would come across, because he's always been portrayed as somebody on the spectrum, that he would come across as sounding rude, like saying she's dumb. No, but the reality is, hey, you're going to have a unexceptional child, which means...
Yeah, you'll have a vanilla kid.
Yeah, like, and you could have used that in a funny way, but instead they didn't even go for low-hanging fruit. There wasn't a lot of actual funny in it.
I mean, I could see them trying to tie up the season-long plot thread of the Nobel Prize, although I was really surprised they didn't use the trope of making Amy pregnant. That's where I thought that was going to go. Leonard and Penny kind of saw it coming, but I figured it would have been, guess what, Sheldon, we're having a baby. That's where I thought she would have revealed it when they were having the Nobel Prize speech.
And that would have probably been a more fitting end.
Be like, my gift to the world is super asymmetry, but my gift to you, Sheldon, is we're going to raise something brilliant, something beautiful. But I thought the speech by Jim Parsons was remarkably well done.
Well, it seems like they tried to frame the two-episode double-parter around one good piece of writing and then had to fill in the gaps.
Yeah, because the last 10 minutes of the episode, I thought were pretty good.
I have a feeling that, like, Chuck Lorre or the writer's room had that script, like had his
scene written, and then, okay, guys, fill in the rest.
I have a feeling they had that scene written for like 2 or 3 years because it was significantly better than anything else that I had seen watching the last 5 episodes leading up to the finale.
Mm-hmm. Agreed to that. Yeah, because it just seems like, you're right, like there was something there. Here's the last moment of the series, guys. Get us to here, and where Leonard and all of them are going to take off, where Wallowitz and Bernadette are going to go back because they miss their kids and whatever. Okay, a little weak sauce, and then Leonard's like, go to hell.
I get the point. They were trying to show off how much they've changed in 12 years. Like, that was the goal, is to show, look how much they've grown. They're now responsible adults. It's like, okay, but the biggest two issues I have with the show is, number one, is when I say it was insulting to me, is I actually pulled out a stopwatch on my phone. There is a laugh track every 6 seconds, exactly 6 seconds. You can actually time it if you go back and watch. From the time it starts to the time it ends on the two-parter, every 6 seconds there's a laugh track with the exact same laughs. They don't even, like, vary it up. It's laugh here, laugh here, laugh here. You got to laugh here, even though there's nothing funny. If you have gone back and watched, they do film some episodes in front of live audiences. They don't use their audio because they don't laugh, because it's not very funny. The show is very, like, you'll snicker. Huh. That's the kind of show it is. It's not a laugh out loud, I'm rolling on the floor when there's a really good episode of the Goldbergs or Brooklyn Nine-Nine kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's inherent. It's not just because it's a three-camera comedy, because Roseanne and the Conners, I'm laughing out loud at that. And that's in front of a live audience. And you can tell it's a live audience because the laughs are different every single time somebody laughs. And sometimes people laugh, you know, a section will laugh when the other part isn't, because that person found that part funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that it's so cookie cutter. Like, but again, 6 seconds, exactly 6 seconds, there's a laugh track. Like, that's, they've made the show like an assembly line.
It's a little formulaic.
And the second part that I didn't like,
mm-hmm.
This is, you know, we'll get to Game of Thrones later, but this is the most watched show on television in the last 12 years since it's been on, with the exception of like NCIS, which is watched by every grandpa and me. Like, as far as the 18 to, you know, 49 demographic, this is the most watched show and has been the most watched show. It consistently held ratings even after people were dropping off from watching live TV. It has kept in that 18 to 20 million live viewers forever. And so this is a show where people took pay cuts to keep on the, because they didn't want to, you know, bloat the budget out there anywhere. This is a show that they regularly would spend anywhere from $50 to $100 million a year on, even though there's no special effects, because it got crazy advertiser money. And they couldn't get anybody but fucking Buffy the Vampire Slayer for the finale.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that the star power wasn't a little stronger. Like, I'm surprised Shatner didn't hold out for the series finale.
Well, and I still haven't seen the Shatner episode, but I wanted to see it. But, like, you're telling me that Will Wheaton or any of the recurring guests couldn't show up in the audience? Like, have him look out in the audience, have him be nervous going out, because, you know, public speaking or whatever, have him be nervous, and then he looks out into the audience, and it's all his friends that he's made across the last 12 years.
Yeah, because, you know, in one episode, I referenced the Shatner episode again, they had Kevin Smith, Will Wheaton, Joe Manganiello to play the celebrity D&D game with Will Wheaton. I would have saved some of that star power for the finale.
Here's a question.
Shatner should have been there. Well, LeVar Burton.
One guy's never been on the show.
Or Patrick Stewart.
Well, Patrick Stewart, I was going to say, would have been perfect, because his new fucking show airs on CBS All Access that they're trying to push people towards this year. They dropped the trailer for it like a few days after it ended, like the teaser. So it's like, why wouldn't you just get Patrick Stewart there to be the person that, like, you know, like he's going to be asked to come on stage and tell his speech, and like to introduce him is Patrick Stewart. That would have been one day of shooting for 1 hour to have probably the biggest star that's going to be on their streaming network this year. Super nerdy, and he's like the holy grail of Star Trek people that hasn't been on the show. And it's like, it's a no-brainer. He's already under contract. But no, Sarah Michelle Gellar, really?
Yeah, I was surprised.
Terrible, too.
I thought she looked okay in the audience, but
on the plane,
not as healthy as she could have.
Looking a little too Lindsay Lohan, like, for my taste now. Like, she looked like she was drinking heavy. But I mean, that's my
opinion. I'm not going to comment on that.
That's my opinion. But I found, like, she was there so they could make one gag. Like,
honestly, it should have been like, dude, run the plane with Captain Picard. That would have been a much stronger joke.
Or have him just randomly show up, like have him go up on stage and the person that hands him the award is Patrick Stewart. And he just like basically freaks out or something, or you know, have him be sitting down or waiting to go on stage and Patrick Stewart comes out and gives a little speech to introduce him. And then he just has like a complete geek fanboy moment in front of all the audience.
Like, yeah. That would have been a much better joke.
It would have played to who he is. Right. Or the fact that they constantly would talk about Battlestar Galactic on the show. Why not have Adama come out? Like,
yeah, that would have been cool.
But no, like, it was so, like, Sarah Michelle Gellar, what does she cost? Like, $100 in a burrito? Like, you know what I mean at this point? Like, really? You're telling me that the biggest show, like, as far as ratings and longest, longevity-wise, that's not an NCIS or a Law and Order, but, like, the biggest show with the 18 to 49 demographic that you're going to want to get to watch your network, and you get Sarah Michelle Gellar, who doesn't have a show on your network, and nobody else.
Or that's another thing, because this is a Warner Brothers produced show. That's CBS money. They could have gotten any member of the Justice League to show up. They could have got Jason Momoa to do something, in theory, even if it was just for like half a day.
You know what I mean? Like, it just didn't make any sense. Like, it felt like they just like, here you go, and then somebody just like shat it out. Here's your
they're
fucking
like, hey,
plot.
They're like, hey, who's available today?
You know what would be funny? If when he's on stage, he's introducing people, he's like, is that Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Like,
yeah,
that was the only joke in the entire double part that I snickered at and went, ha, that's kind of funny. And I was like, if you think of other shows like Parks and Rec and other ones that have ended, even Community, which I didn't see the last season that went on Yahoo, I have to go back and watch that. But like, all of those shows have had either, you know, a satisfying end or a fantastic end. And this was one of the worst series finales for a show that had a proper season finale, not one that was just canceled randomly. It might be the worst sitcom finale I've ever seen.
No, I can think of worse.
I mean, Fresh Prince was pretty bad. But, like, where they just all leave. Like, but I can't remember.
This one left me feeling unsatisfied. Well, I wanted a little more.
And I mean, I'll tell you, you're not going to get more out of Young Sheldon, that garbage. Like, and that's probably going to go another 10 years because Chuck Lorre had made a deal with the devil or something. Like, because every show he makes...
He's the sitcom guy.
Well, the problem with him being the sitcom guy is he's the sitcom guy to the lowest common denominator. It's like he doesn't want smart shows. He used to. He was a writer on Roseanne. But like, I don't know. He's just a mediocre sitcom machine. So,
and that's unfortunate because I think The Big Bang Theory had a lot of potential.
It really did. On. I'm not trying to rag on it. I was kind of surprised. Like, I know my mother and grandmother watched the finale, and I talked to them about it when I visited them. I said, "So, what'd you think of the finale?" Like, that was the end of the show. They're like, "It's over." I'm like, "Yeah." Like, she goes, "She thought it was just for the end of the season." I'm like, no, it's over. And she goes, that was pretty bad. And my mom is not somebody who, like, she'll watch some shows to get, like, deep into it. But when she watches sitcoms, she doesn't expect much. But she's like, that was bad. And my grandmother, who is somebody who, like, English is her second language. She's German. So she wants shows to be simple and easy to follow. She watched it and she goes, that wasn't very funny. And she laughs at anything. So, like, they're my barometer for whether or not I'm just too much up my ass. And when they both said they didn't like it, I was like, then I feel vindicated that I didn't care for it.
I feel I've got some people in my circle who liked it, but maybe were underwhelmed. I'm going to say I didn't hate it, but I felt unsatisfied. I wanted a little bit. I felt the final shot shouldn't have been them eating their food like they do at the beginning of every episode. I wanted a different tag. I think maybe the final shot should have been maybe all of them in the audience accepting the Nobel speech.
You know what it should have been? It should have been a final scene of them taking their baby home for the first time and then seeing Amy pregnant too.
Yeah, that would have been cute.
Because then it would have shown that, oh my God, there's going to be another generation of them.
Yeah, that would have been cute. That would have been a satisfying ending. A little tropey, but satisfying.
Well, the whole show was tropey, but like, it would have been the end of like, oh man, it's going to be all over again. These two kids are going to grow up and then find out, let's say that they were both going to have girls. So it was going to be a completely different dynamic.
Yeah. So yeah, that would have been a better ending.
And we thought of that right now.
Yeah, there you go. Put us in the writer's room. Chuck Lorre will make you $1 million. Speaking of another show that has raised controversy. Now, I talked about this on 900 CHML a little while ago. You can listen to that station in Hamilton, Ontario. I think on the Chorus Radio Network. I was asked to speak about the Game of Thrones finale and what I thought about it. This season was 6 episodes long. The last 2 seasons were split into 13, I believe. And some people felt this was a rush job. And I will say, the final season of Game of Thrones, I liked the first 2 episodes.
I actually liked
everything beyond that. Everything beyond that felt really rushed.
I feel like what they should have done is it shouldn't have been 7 and 6. It should have been 8 and 8 for the last 2 seasons.
Because it needed a little bit more.
And I mean, it's all up in the air what they're going to do with. They said they were going to do a prequel, right?
Yes.
I don't think it's going to be a prequel. I think they already said they're retooling it. I think it's going to be an anthology series where you're sort of going to jump into some of the other characters and some of the other parts of the world where you'll see, like, this short miniseries of 6 episodes is going to be about what's going on in the north. This is going to be what's going on in the west, that sort of shit. And it'll be kind of fun that way. They already said that they had thought about doing a movie as well, but, like, what movie could it be? The movie might be a prequel. Like, make the movie about the Mad King or something. Mm-hmm. But I've had time now to sit on this and think about it. Some things were rushed, and I think people got their panties in a knot because they were expecting too much.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen this final episode, with a few small gripes, was probably the best way you could have ended it.
Yes, and I completely agree with you. It's satisfying, but it's not exactly what everybody wanted. It's the best they could have done under the circumstances.
You know what? To anybody that's complaining about this, I say go back and remember what it was like to watch the last episode of The Sopranos.
Exactly. I mean, how many times has HBO had this show that's been amazingly high in ratings, been critically well-received, critical darling, and the landing just, they crash and burn?
Or they cancel it, like Oz. Oz, the prison show, 6 amazing seasons, the first real, like they had commissioned shows in the 80s and early 90s, but this was the first show that they really put everything into. And it, I'm not going to spoil, it's not spoiling anything. It ends the last season with somebody mailing in anthrax into the prison and them having to evacuate the prison. And it's like, what's going to happen next? Well, I've been fucking waiting 15 years. So... I don't think I'm getting what's going to happen here. And it was it a suitable ending? Fuck no, it wasn't. And that was one of their longest running shows at 6 years. I haven't seen The Wire, but I heard that's good. But like, for the most part, you don't get, like, I think people were let down because this is Game of Thrones. And I mean, I don't even know if it's my opinion. I think it's the best TV show ever made as far as drama.
From a production standpoint, it is up the ante forever.
And as far as the deep interweaving storylines, I don't think it's ever been done this well with any show ever.
I can't think of any contemporaries that maybe The Expanse.
But I mean, I found The Expanse kind of boring. And I'm somebody who loves space shows. So, I mean, and you've got shows that have better lore, like Stargate or Star Trek. But as far as fantasy, it's the best fantasy show ever made.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna take a lot of hate for this, but it's better than Lord of the Rings, like significantly better. Lord of the Rings it gets all the praise because it's the first, you know, the story. It was where so many of these common fantasy tropes were invented. But I will not sit through the extended cuts of Lord of the Rings ever again because I know the story enough, and it's not as compelling as Game of Thrones.
I like the characters better in Game of Thrones.
The difference is like. Lord of the Rings was written basically for children, and adults could like it too. But Game of Thrones is, if you remove the fantasy element, you could put it in space. If you remove the space element, this could be like a drama, you know, that you would see on like a nighttime primetime soap. It's basically that, but told as realistic as possible.
Like, yeah.
It's,
agreed.
If you have to ask, if you sum up the show, it's about, the show is basically just about incest and dragons. And what the happens when basically you fuck your cousins and you're also royalty. Like, it's basically what the show is about. It's about incest is bad. The monarchy is bad.
and that absolute power corrupts absolutely, and honor only means so much to others who hold it.
Did you notice that anybody that was truly good in the show died very horribly, with the exception of Jon Snow? And he only makes it out because he finally had to do something bad.
It was the right choice, but it wasn't one that he liked.
Exactly. So
he thought he could talk Daenerys down from the ledge, but when she says to him, or he says to her, something along the lines of, well, what if other people won't see it your way? And then she says to him, well, it's not their right to choose, it's my way. Then he's like, well, now you gotta die. It was eliminating tyrants. And
yeah, and the gripe I have with this, like I said, there was time compressed stuff that they could have had probably, if they didn't want to give it 8 and 8, they could have given this one a 7-episode order as well. There could have been one episode, and people arguing about, oh, her turn was too quick. No, fuck that. She was always
telegraphed a long time. However, someone made an interesting point, and it makes me think, if Jorah had still been alive, King's Landing would not have happened. I think Jorah could have talked her down, which is a negative to the writing to the show, because it shows that all she needed was someone to talk her down from the ledge, and it always happened to be a male character since Missandei was gone.
No, you know what it was? It's because, you know, he loved her and all that, but she never had a father figure, and he was basically her dad. Because, you know, her dad was the Mad King. Mm-hmm. So he was the voice of reason. He loved her. But here's the thing. I think had he lived, or they decided to have him live until the last episode or right before the last episode, it would have been fantastic had she gone completely mad and murdered him.
Or like, maybe he had to kill her.
Had he tried to stop her, if John had to kill her, but John watched him try to stop her, and then knowing that he was incredibly loyal to her, and then have her kill him in a fit of rage, and then he'd be like, it would have made more sense for him to go, she's gone mad.
Yeah, she's gone too far.
Yeah, killing everybody that loves you.
That would have been fascinating, actually.
It would have been interesting if he didn't kill her. John went to kill her, but then she collapsed and died because Varys' little girl had finally poisoned her.
Yeah.
You know, had it shown that he literally was always thinking of the people, and even in death he thought of the people. Because remember that there's that scene in the episode before... Where she comes to him and says she's not eating, but it's clear. He doesn't say he's tried to poison her, but it's clear he tried to poison her. So, and that's where he betrayed her. And it's interesting that what's brought up in this episode is Sam's like, what about democracy? And they all laugh at him.
Yeah, I thought that was actually pretty funny.
So and people have issues. People are going to gripe and pick apart every little thing. Like, they shouldn't be here. And
Although the water bottle was pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to digitally erase it from the release. And they'll have a special picture. Because remember when they had George Bush's head on a spike in the first season? And they ended up having to remove him completely and digitally release it again?
Yeah.
So, it because they did that. I think if the first season of the Blu-ray is worth like $300 or $400 if you have the original pressing, because it has the original George Bush head on the spikes. So they've digitally removed things before, so they're going to remove it, but then they'll have a special feature where they show it in like a blooper or whatever. Because they're like, it's so rushed. These episodes took like, they had
months.
They had movie set level like production, whereas a TV show is like shot in a week. Each episode here was shot over 2 or 3 weeks. There is no way they missed that. That was for publicity stunt to fuck with people. Garen fucking to you. Especially since it happened twice. A coffee cup and a water bottle.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because they weren't working with like an inexperienced crew. It was the same crew they had always been working with. And it wasn't like it was in the background with an extra. It was with one of the main actors. You're telling me that like Jamie and them didn't just, oh shit, I got a Tim Hortons cup here. You know what I mean? Like that was there just to fuck with the audience, I think.
Like, for buzz. Like, I could see that considering, but then again, I could see them keeping it in if that was the best take that they got.
I don't think
nobody noticed.
Yeah. Especially since they go through heavy editing on these shows. Like as
and
far
script
as
tone, supervisors are there on set.
Not to mention this is one of the only shows. I think it's the only show on television right now that was still filmed on film. That's how they got, like, all the outdoor scenes are digital, but all the interior shots are on 35mm, which is why it looks like a fucking high-end movie, because it actually is on celluloid. So you're telling me that people running the dailies couldn't see that?
So, yeah. I mean, I guess with Game of Thrones, it ended about as well as it could have. It wrapped up 90% of all the plot threads. We find out what happens to King's Landing afterwards. The only question I've seen arise on my Facebook is, did the Dothraki go home or did they take land in the north? I know the Unsullied went to Narth. The Golden Company was wiped out.
I have a feeling that the... they show King's Landing and... is it King's Landing that has... The Dothraki are just living there? It looks like...
they've assimilated in, maybe?
Yeah, because it shows them walking through, and they're, like, bartering and stuff. It looks like...
Yeah, they're on the docks, just hanging out.
And, like, going through the market and stuff, and, like, they're just intermixing. So, basically, King's Landing has now become, like Rome or Athens. It's become, like, a trade hub with everybody.
So, yeah, I was kind of wondering about that, because I know Dothraki don't like ships, so...
So, I have a feeling they stayed and will probably be integrated into the army. I mean, they're going to be pissed and shit, right? But they're also a superstitious bunch. So they might actually follow the Three-Eyed Raven. So,
yeah.
Also, interesting, if you didn't read the books, I was reading about little things here and there. They're talking about, how his reign and all this, and well, what happens after him? He's not going to have any kids or whatever, right? The Three-Eyed Raven lives for 1,000 fucking years before he has to transfer his powers over. So he could literally live till there's no more men.
Yeah, and they openly said, even if he doesn't have children, the council will now choose among the great houses. They'll choose a new king. So it's a form of democracy anyway.
Yeah, it's become a...
theocracy? I don't know.
Or like you know, you have a monopoly and then there's an oligarchy?
Yeah.
It's like that. They choose amongst the elite, mm-hmm. which is a slowly transitioning form into going away from a monarchy.
But I'd say I was pretty happy with it, but it didn't give me goosebumps, and I wanted goosebumps.
Yeah, I was the only things I was disappointed with were how fast the fights went in the last two episodes.
I was surprised how quickly Daenerys died. I thought that would have been like half the episode.
The most disappointing death in the entire show is probably Cersei.
Yes, Cersei and Jaime. I expected
they get crushed. I was hoping
a dagger in the gut.
Well, it wouldn't be Jaime doing it, but I was hoping that like somebody from their past that we had forgotten about was going to come into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think somebody else they would have crossed or something that would have just come and been like, fuck you.
Hot pie comes back.
I don't know. I'm trying to think who else was there, who else was left. I was kind of hoping that, actually, I was kind of hoping that it would have been
Gendry or someone. No.
Yeah,
Arya would have been a choice for me because of her death list.
Yeah, Gendry would have been perfect because if he had found out that she basically killed his father,
mm-hmm.
you know, like by he was hit by the boar, but then she basically let him die,
mm-hmm.
take power. Like I would have figured something like that, or even something random. Like what if she had been was running away and then she was stoned or killed by the townspeople that were fleeing.
Yeah. Or maybe she stands up to, like, Drogon and says, you don't have the balls to do it, then gets roasted that.
Ultimately, she's a coward. She's arrogant, but a coward. So, the baby, there's been enough baby killing in it and that so that it wouldn't have worked, but like
it was surprisingly heartfelt though when her and Jamie died, when she's like, "Don't let us die, Jamie."
It would have been interesting if they had made it to the boat, got out in the boat, and then the boat started sinking when they were in the middle of the ocean.
And there's nothing that they can do. Yeah, that would have been interesting.
They just drowned at sea together. That would have been more interesting. As far as other major deaths, the Hound was the best one of that episode.
Like, and the zombie mountain who just wouldn't goddamn die.
Yeah. And he's just like, fuck it. And then knocks him out like 300 fucking feet. Well, and the fire, as far as lingering issues I have, not issues, mm-hmm. but like things that they didn't close up. Obviously, Arya's going west, which I was reading in the books. They mention nobody's ever come back from because there's like a fucking abyss or something out there.
Yeah, they don't know what's out there. Yeah.
Like there's been two cartographers or whatever that have gone out there that were very famous and they never came back. And so either there's nothing out there, there's horrible deaths, or there's another world, or it's fucking fantastic and nobody wants to leave. So there could be many different things out there, but it's probably something horrible. As far as the north, John going north, it looks like he leaves the Watch. Because
yeah, it looks like he goes back to join the Wildlings.
Because like, what?
Or he's first ranger or something. No, he's the 1,000th commander of the Night's Watch.
Well,
he takes over again.
He does, but then he leaves them. So I'm thinking that maybe they're going searching because did you notice that
the little plant that came up?
It's starting to go green. So like, is the magic starting to wane from up there? Like, is this show about the death of magic?
Or the long night's over because the Night King's gone. And that's something that kind of pissed me off about this season. The Night King was just, that was resolved in one episode.
Well, also, I have a feeling what we're going to get is either a book or we're going to get more shows about, like, the lore hasn't been mined nearly enough. Whereas shows like Stargate would go into the lore, like, super deep over the course of their 10 seasons. Mm-hmm. This was just surface level enough to keep you interested, but then didn't really go into it. Like, who was the Night King? What was the point of the Night King? What was the point of the Three-Eyed Raven? Well, like, yes, he holds all of our collective knowledge. What was the fucking point of him going like blind and then flying around as birds during the big battle, like in episode 3? And the actor just said, "Oh, he was just flying around." And it's like, no. What was the point of that? He looked like he was going to take something over or look for something. So something happened. Like, why would you bother doing that? He's like, "Oh, he could see what was happening in the battle." Yeah, but he didn't relay anything. It didn't do anything good. So I feel like that's in the book probably, and they didn't know how to interpret what was going to happen because the book's not finished yet. Mm-hmm. They also didn't do a good job of explaining two of the most powerful deities in the world. One is the god of death that Arya was basically training under with the Faceless Men.
Yeah.
So like, she sees that, like, that plot line goes fucking nowhere after she escapes, right? Like, in, was it 2 seasons ago?
Yep.
So, like, not to mention when she sees Melisandre can sense that she's basically an agent of the god of death. She mentions it. So, like, obviously she has some sort of mystical connection to the god of death. And remember how her fencing trainer guy disappeared? You know, it was assumed he was killed in like season 1 or 2.
Yeah.
And then similarly, there was the man that could change faces that brought her to the Faceless Men to train and all that shit. Mm-hmm. He doesn't fucking die either. And there's a whole league of assassins that are fucking out there. Where are they during all this when the world's going to end?
Well, there was a video I saw. There was somebody who read the books and deep dived the series and kind of revealed what the Faceless Men do and their place in the world, sort of thing. Like, the guy who trained Arya did try to kill her. That's why he sent that little girl after her.
Yeah, because she didn't want to go all the way in.
Exactly. So she abandoned it. Yeah, once she accomplished the power, she fucked off, so...
Because you're supposed to lose your own face and personality.
Exactly. You're supposed to take contracts that the House of Black and White deems worthy. And the contracts can choose unique payment systems, too. And
yeah, so there's that.
I'd like to see a series about that. But
so the God of Death, What about the fucking Lord of Light?
Yeah, that was just kind of dropped off in the middle of nothing.
It was hinted that the Lord of Light is basically like the Christian God, because it's the one God you're supposed to worship, not one of them. Like, the God of Death is one of the old gods.
Yeah.
So one of the old ancient titans or whatever the fuck it is that deal with the tree that's connected to the three-eyed raven. But the Lord of Light is apparently a separate entity, not connected. And it's not a demon. It obviously wanted men to prevail. So it's supposed to be some sort of, I think, like a Christian god or a Judeo-Christian sort of type thing-ish. But
I think its
influence is seen, but it's never really explained what the purpose was. Because, like, was it there to just help the three-eyed raven? Even though the three-eyed raven is not connected to it? Like, I figured the Lord of Light was basically like an arch enemy of, you know, the Night King, like the god of, or even of the god of death, because it's like, you know, fire and light versus darkness and death or whatever. But no, they don't go into that. They leave it open. So I think there's a lot that could be explored. And this isn't a case of like, oh God, we have to have everything explained and the writers don't want you to know because there needs to be some mystery in the world. No, they didn't explain enough. It doesn't have to be explained fully, but there needs to be a little more lore than what they gave. But those are little gripes. Other than that, and other than like the pacing issue of it being sped up a bit, I honestly thought this was a fitting end.
Yeah, like I said, it ended about as well as it possibly could have. And that's ultimately what I wanted. A satisfying ending. I didn't get goosebumps, but I'm not upset either. I'd give it a solid 7 out of 10.
Yeah, now you just got to get into Westworld, which is their, you know, it's already in its third season coming up, and it's sort of the replacement, or it was the companion show to it.
There's Westworld and Watchmen.
Yeah, but Westworld.
There's going to be a bunch of good stuff on HBO come this fall.
Well, Westworld's fantastic. I think if you haven't seen it yet, it's something you've got to get into. The first couple episodes are very cyclical in that they show the pattern of the Westworld. Like, the robots basically follow the same pattern every day. So you're starting to get to know who they are and everything. And then it really blows the original movie and original TV show way out of the water. It's basically the same type of storytelling that Game of Thrones is with the multifaceted, but it's like a Western sci-fi. So definitely worth checking out. And that's probably where they're hoping that a lot of viewers go to that. The Watchmen, they have another one. What's the other big one they have coming out this year?
Chernobyl?
Chernobyl's the
but that's airing right now.
That's the miniseries. They have Watchmen, and they have, I think there's one other property coming out that's really big, but off the top of my head, I can't remember. But yeah, like they're trying to fill the slate because, you know, you've got Amazon has the Wheel of Time series still in development. I think it just cast its director finally. Mm-hmm. And isn't Amazon also funding that giant $1 billion Lord of the Rings?
Yes, they are.
And I just don't know. I don't know if there's going to be interest in the Lord of the Rings one. Wheel of Time, maybe.
It's got a lot to live up to, especially now it has to compare against the Peter Jackson stuff.
Yeah.
And it's going to be inevitably compared to Game of Thrones. So it's got to bring more than its A game. A-plus rank.
Like I would have figured it would have been better if they had just invested the money in Wheel of Time, because that series is more in-depth and complete than Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones. So, yeah, interesting times ahead.
Interesting times in television, to be sure. So, once again, we hope you've enjoyed this kind of midweek special, us kind of catching up on the big things that have happened in television. Once again, we will be resuming our regular programming here on the site. Again, stay tuned for new episodes of Turd or Treasure. We'll have more Twig episodes. We should have a prototype, hopefully very early June. As you guys know, E3 is coming up in just a little over 2 weeks, so we'll be looking forward to that as that takes place in Los Angeles. We'll be covering all the major conferences every day with a little bit of something every day. So be looking forward to our analysis of that. As always, I'll be doing guest spots on Nerds of the Third Power, where I'm basically a host over there now. So
yeah.
I'm not guest anymore.
I was going to say, and we syndicate that show usually a day or two after it drops. So if you don't have them, you can get it on our site too.
Exactly. Or you can listen to it on YouTube if that's more your jam. So anyway, for This Week in Geek, we have been...
Alex.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying live free or die hard. And as always, be cool, be kind, be careful. We'll catch you again next time right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Okay, son, now you're starting to scare the viewers.
Just act normal.
I'd ask you to do the same, but I'm afraid that ship has sailed.
Why are there so many ostriches?
But you have a game that is dipped in a bit of a ha
ha! Ropey, thick, window cocking.
So, guys, we'll be right back right here on This Week in Geek, only on ThisWeekInGeek.net and many other sites where I syndicate this crap, because I'm a media slut.
I like turtles.
Loose like your mom.
That's right.
No fisting, you say. Anything else you object to?
Me lucky tater tots.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at This Week in Geek. And check out our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. And if you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time. And remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Red Rocket! Red Rocket! Come on!
Carmen, what the hell are you doing?
I'm milking the dog. They make dog milk.
No, they don't.
Yeah, just hold on a minute. The fifth grader showed us how to do it. Red Rocket! Come on, dog. Red Rocket!
Whoa, cool. That's awesome.